What's the difference between bacon,
bacon,
and
bacon?
It's in the prep, because flimsy microwave bacon can taste meh. That's why Wendy's oven bakes their bacon for crispy slices of applewood smoked bacon that taste. Place it on fresh, never frozen beef, and you've got a junior bacon cheeseburger. It's the star of Wendy's 4 for $4 meal. Yeah, for just $4, you get a JBC, 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke. Not to mention that crispy bacon that makes the 4 for $4 so deliciously different. At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.
Hey.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Andre Cohen, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Freedom. And I just want to say to all of you who sent us letters and been with us on Facebook and interacted with us, I want to say thank you so much. As we look towards moving into another year, another season, we hope that you are as excited as we are about some of the upcoming changes and things we'll be doing as we move forward. So this is not your typical kind of diversity and inclusion conversation. If you're looking for the old ways of talking about blame or guilt or fault, this is probably not the place for you. But if you are excited about thinking about new things, having listening to and participating in conversations that expand what we currently call diversity and ways in which we can interact with each other differently, this is definitely the right place for you. So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. I have a guest that is just a dear friend of mine, and I've heard her referred to as a shiny penny. And I don't know if you smile, but typically when I find a shiny penny, I find myself with an ear-to-ear smile, because it's just not something that you find every day. There are tons of pennies that cross my hand. Some are pretty corroded and you know, quite frankly, nasty. But when you find that shiny penny, it's something that you at least you hold on to, or it brings some joy to your life. And so I'd like to kind of have Mickey introduce herself a little bit, and we'll get into the show. Hello, Mickey. How are you?
Hey, Andre. How are you?
I'm fabulous. It feels like it's been like forever since we've talked.
I know. What I almost want to say, what's up?
Well, you know, I want you to give your updates as well. But on this end, you know, we do some work with Anoka County still, and we really started focusing on how do we, you know, get the word out and get the message out about diversity and inclusion in a new and different way. So this is one of those mediums, and you know, we're on, you know, Twitter and YouTube, and we just. I think we have now over 400 and plus videos on YouTube.
That's wonderful.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. You've been working. You've been working
yeah.
for a long time. I mean, I've gotten the privilege of watching you grow.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, some of that growth has been at your hands, you know.
I'll take that love.
Yeah, you've helped do some pruning. You've given, you know, solid, sound advice. And so, so tell us about
Well, I have a topic that you're going to love today.
Oh, yeah.
I have a topic you're going to love today. It's one of the lessons that people clamor for the most, which is this concept called a five-star model.
All right.
And we use it for diversity. We use it in business structure. How do you build diversity in a business structure?
Okay.
And it's really kind of a mapping deal, and it's something that we can do with your listeners really quickly.
Okay.
So I'd like to talk about kind of what is a five-star model, and it's just a mapping technique
okay.
that you can use to kind of start looking at expansion. And what we use it for is really to do a reverse momentum, to stop having to always push your energy out towards something, but having it turn around and come towards you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people get fried. I mean, they get fried spreading a message. They get fried trying to get new business. They get fried from having I've seen people use this concept for their network.
Mm-hmm.
So how to build some diversity in there. And it's really the first place to start for most people is really, you know, it's just draw a 5-point star on your paper. And really start looking at how do you put in 5 areas in which you're interfacing with that are totally different and don't have much in common. And really building a business plan on how you would do that.
So I mean, it's just that simple. 5 areas. So I don't need to drill down and do data mining and all that kind of stuff. Just start off.
You don't. I would look for things that you're really passionate about, and things that you're genuinely interested in. So I brought some examples.
All right.
And it's a starting point. Most people that work through this concept over a year and a half. That I'm giving people a really simple place to start kind of mulling through what would different look like. And there's a lot of different layers to this methodology, and there's a lot of different conversations around it. But for a 20-minute phone call, how do we get people started? And started to think about things differently. How everything that they do is usually pushed outward, right? Chasing that dollar.
Yep.
And, you know, my biggest lesson to people is you have to stop chasing money. You have to stop chasing money, and you have to start attracting money.
Okay.
And that means you have to hold still long enough to interface with it.
Right.
And if you interface with just one point on a star, you only get that one piece of everything. You only get that one market. You only get that one flavor. You only get that one network. So the examples that I've given for people are really even just how you and I met, right? We met.
Yeah.
That I am a financial advisor by trade.
Yep.
But one of the markets that I really felt passionate about was inner city youth.
Yep.
Now, most people who see me in a financial conversation as a consultant don't think of me as a high school teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, as time goes on, the market, the people you know, the information, the learning curve, the true blessings of one of the reasons that people like to hang out with me is because I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of people.
And a lot of people.
Yeah,
right?
you are my go-to person. If I need something or if I'm, you know, if I'm in a quandary, I say, who should I call? Oh, Nikki.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to do that. There's a lot of reasons to build diversity, and one of them is that it actually builds flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have loved about really looking at how do you build a ton of different people who aren't alike and markets and ideas and so forth, and how do I stay as an individual who has a really high energy level? I'm sure you know these people.
Yeah,
mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, that we have to stay engaged and excited, and, you know, we have to have enough food for our brain. And part of that is knowing a lot of different people and being able to interact and sit at a lot of different tables.
Yeah.
So the five-star model is one of those pieces where you really can look at those 5 points and say, what do I really enjoy doing? Most people, when they make a business plan, they go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be a financial consultant, so I'm going to do, you know, these 5 things that are related to finance.
Right.
And you can, but if they're really closely paired, you've made no differentiation. You've made no progress. You've created a little nut that you shall work inside of instead of planting a whole bunch of trees. So for mine, I chose some really different target areas. I chose teaching inner city youth, and I really focused on that inner city space because those are the kids I love. I love kids who really are extremely difficult and have a lot of strikes against them that makes it look like it's not a good idea. Because those lives can be changed the fastest, and that's something that is my emotional paycheck. I like to see people have a wonderful life.
Yeah. Just real quick, why do you think that particularly, you know, you say inner city youth or people that are hungry, why do you think that they make the most significant changes than those of us, you know, those folks that live, you know, in pretty comfortable lives or you know, don't have these kinds of struggles?
Well, one of the things is that, first of all, in those age groups, they don't have a lot. They don't really care about rules. You know, that they kind of go, "What? That sounds like I could identify with it. Okay, I'll put that on." That they're really comfortable with trying on some new ideas.
Okay.
The other thing that I like about that group is understanding how someone can move out of survival mentality.
Mm.
The longer you have, I mean, that's a whole show for us right there. The longer you stay in survival mentality, and the definition of survival is when an environment has turned against an organism,
mm-hmm.
right? So as we as the organisms that our environment is turning against us, the longer you live in that state, the more difficult it is to change.
That
as opposed
you have no
to,
idea how profound that is.
Oh.
You know, because I see it in organizations all the time. I see it in, you know, government and in other institutions. And people take, you know, some of the things that we say in terms of thinking differently. They take it really lightly. But when you talk about survival as the external environment turning on an organism, not being inhabitable, or that organism not being inhabitable in that particular environment, that explains so many things in our organization, you know,
yeah.
particularly around diversity.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I love diversity and being able to bring this conversation in. And it is exactly, when you look at diversity from my perspective, you know, one of the points on my star is business. You know, how does business think differently? And how do small to medium-sized businesses really think differently? And what is the infrastructure that they will invest in? Diversity is not just saying, hey, what do the people that work here look like?
Mm-hmm.
Diversity includes what is the thought process. I mean, that you've built your whole career on this.
Yeah.
Of bringing this message. But what business has to learn from diversity, in my opinion, is a very different lesson. Diversity gives flexibility. It gives pliability. It's not only that is it more bendable, but it's more bendable and it won't snap.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things that you can bend, but they're going to break.
Right.
Flexibility really gives that pliability with diversity, that it can really move around a little bit more. And it gives it another energy. And it really gives it a lot more thought, a lot more ways to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And when you look at that survival mentality of what is the definition of survival versus growth, it is, instead of having an environment where an organism's environment is turned against it, placing an organism in an environment that it can thrive in. And, boy, I mean, we could all just take a look at our lives and really
yeah.
ask that one question.
And this is, you know, it's so funny because in a lot of diversity conversations, we try to make it so much more theoretical. We try to use a lot of high-minded ideals and laws and red tape to kind of bog us down. But when you break it down, the real assets of diversity are the things that you're talking about. How do we
yeah.
change the atmosphere, the environment, so that we can create an opportunity, a fertile ground, a resting place for folks to develop and give their best? And
right.
so I'm loving this five-star. I'm loving this. This is great.
Well, and what I like about the five-star model is it really forces businesses to not just look at what are the markets that I'm looking at, what are the markets that I'm interfacing, who am I willing to love? Who do I love hanging out with? Who do I love interfacing with? I recently did this with a builder, somebody who owns
yeah.
a building company, and we went through this process, and one of the things that we talked about was, who do you like to hang around with? And he is a critical thinker, and he likes people that can really work around a problem
mm-hmm.
and think about it in a lot of different ways. And it came out that he really likes working with lawyers.
Oh.
And one of the things that he said as a builder was, you know, how do I hang out with more lawyers? And every lawyer that said to him, like, why do you want to hang out with us? We're not that cool. You know, why do you want to hang out with us? But it was a really good match. It was a really good match for who does he like to talk to? Who are his clients? That those are people he really enjoys being with. So, you know, part of a five-star model for every business is also to really, who do you like hanging around with that doesn't look anything like you? A law firm doesn't look anything like a contracting firm.
No, they don't.
No. And, you know, when you look at some of these conversations of how do you build this in and have it be something that you want. And then what you're looking for is you're looking for some key players in each of the tips of those stars. And you're looking for those key players to send money back into you. You know, when you look at the middle of that star, your little happy shining face should be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can some of these key diversity players now send money in? You know, not only can you refer out to them, but you need to be in those spaces and be live and fertile and playing.
And you know, the other thing, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the broader concept, because that doesn't necessarily have to be cash money. It's the money that can be drawn to you is also influence.
It is influence.
And your relationship to those individuals.
As you move up the socioeconomic ladder, you know, you stop thinking about money as money. Money
right.
is, the further up you go, the least valuable resource you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is correct. Influence and relationships are the most valuable asset that you have. And that's a really big stretch from middle incomes to upper level incomes. Money is really the least important form of capital that you'll trade on every day.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the lowest parts, that's the highest part of the conversation. And as you go up, the value of money really diminishes.
So it's almost an inverse relationship. You know, the lower you are on the economic ladder, the more important money, particularly cash, is. And as you move up, that ladder becomes the least important.
Sure. And, you know, there's when we teach survival versus growth mentality, I mean, that's the class that I've taught all over this planet. You know, that is the number one lesson that if I could have the entire world spend an hour and a half with me, that's what I would teach. When you look at that conversation of how does somebody move on a numbers line from one side being in survival and the other side of that numbers line being in a thriving, growing relationship, that middle space where you're near zero, where you're kind of not in one place or the other, the fulcrum, that's something that I call the dead zone. Because when people get comfortable, they get dead. They get dead. They're not going to turn one way or the other. They're not going to strive for anything. Because you know what? They can kind of sit here for a while.
Right, right.
The dead zone is exactly that. I mean, you'll just get number and stiller and just, ugh.
Yeah.
Some people call it a rut. A rut is different than just being, I'm comfortable, I don't want to move.
Right.
If you've ever had like a totally crazy day and your couch looks so good to you,
yeah,
and you just are like, yeah, I'm going to sit on this couch and I'm going to love every minute of it. Do not ask me for a thing.
I'm sure we've all had that, those days.
Right. Right. If you are someone who has struggled financially and struggled for a lot of things, that couch is the most comfortable dead zone you'll ever be in. I don't want to have to struggle. I don't want to have to think about my finances. I don't want to have to do this. I don't have to worry about a debt collector. And for a business, it is also a dead zone. Well, we've got enough clients. We know enough people. You know, we're not starving.
We've got our, you know, our quota or unquote quotas. We have, you know, we've reached out enough to this organization or to those, that population. So we're done now. Diversity is done.
Right.
We're done.
Yeah. Check. Yeah. We got that done. Okay, let's sit here on the couch. And that will kill all initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not somebody else going, come on, get up off the couch, let's go do something. There has to be an outside voice. And that is why your work is so important. There has to be another voice.
So Mickey, I've got like, we've got like 3 minutes.
Okay, let's quick finish this up.
How do we? And we got to do another conversation. We have to leave this one, but we have to get you back on and talk about some other stuff too.
It's addicting, isn't it?
So how do we get in contact with you?
Okay, you can give me. Well, first of all, it's my name, Mickey. My last name, Mikeworth, Mikeworth. Punch that name into Google, and you'll find me everywhere. You can hit me on LinkedIn. You know, it's just, I'm easy to find. I'm the only one on the planet. You know, 7 billion people, there's just one of me.
Just one of you.
Yeah, so it's not like you got the wrong name.
Right. So we are so appreciative to this conversation. I mean, the next, I want to continue having conversations like this, you know, however often you're available. Because you are in demand.
It's true.
It's so true. I mean, I just look at your Facebook. I look at the rich chick stuff that you're doing. Can you talk about that for about a minute or so?
Rich Chicks, Karen Karsten is the executive director. It was a program I started 13 years ago. It has staff, and it has its own deal. Basically, it's a socially-minded financial education company that serves women and all the things that serve women. It is based on a public health model of if you give someone information, they'll take it back into their home and do amazing things. And that organization that last year gave $75,000 back into the community. It's a membership organization. This year, that will increase to $100,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Of providing jobs, providing opportunities, helping people with rent. I mean, there's a lot of things that being mindful of your community that an organization can help make happen. And that's really what Rich Six, I think, does the best job of, is they're a catalyst for change. And their membership is cheap. I mean, I think it's $75 a year.
Oh. Yeah, most folks can do that. That's four lives.
Well, it ends up to be $7 a month or something like that. So, like, you can do a monthly deal. And then you know that 70 cents a month is going into the community or going into a liaison. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. It's an awesome concept.
Yeah, I mean, just the work that you've done and the ways that, in which you've helped to change how people think, I think, is really profound. I'm sitting here, and if I could jump up and down, or if people could see me jumping up and down, with the excitement of the information you gave us today, it was just incredible. I mean, there was some serious mind shifts, paradigm shifts that happened for me as I think about even how diversity works and how we start to change the environment. And maybe, you know, for the kinds of plants we want to grow, maybe this isn't the environment for them. So we need to find another environment for some of those plants.
Right. And taking it to that simple space of, you know, what is Mickey Mikeworth's definition of survival? Here it is. And that is such a simple way to approach really a complex conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the best thing that you can do for a conversation that is ridiculously complex is to give it some simple framework. What is the first stick of wood that needs to be built? And that, getting something down to a point that's real simple to have a conversation is immensely difficult to do. That when you see something that says, you know, simple, like there's rules to live by, those are the most difficult conversations to have. But it's a starting point, right? Like, love thy neighbor. Putting that into action is ridiculously difficult sometimes.
Especially when they're a jerk.
Right. You know, love thy neighbor. This is an excellent rule to live by, but boy, what does it mean? You can blow that out into a million different ways, and it's difficult to own and operate. Survival mentality is just the same. It is very difficult to own and operate.
Right.
But it can blow out into some of the best conversations you'll ever have. Especially on your topic of diversity.
Yeah.
So my last piece is of people when they go, okay, you've got the star, you got your little face in the middle, start plotting out those five areas. And if that's the only homework I'm going to give everybody.
All right.
Is
so we're going to take those five areas, plot that stuff out.
Plot out the five totally different spaces. You must love them. You must enjoy that work. They must be not have too much in common. What the topic is that you interface with them can stay the same, right? I teach finance to all these different places. That is my topic, but the places that I teach them are all very, very different. And then I would start looking for who are your key players in those totally diverse areas. Where does the relationship start? And then, you know, hopefully we'll get back onto this in January.
Yeah, definitely. We'll hit this hard. In the last 30 seconds of the show, I just want to say thank you so much, Mickey, for being with us today. This has been such an awesome conversation. And for those of you in the listening audience, feel free to look her up, Google her. She is going to be one of those folks that you will see on MSNBC, if not her own channel. She is her thinking is just so out of the box, but yet so simple. So we want to say thank you to her. You can reach us at AndreCohen.com or at AMHorizons.com. And if you want to take a class, and we look forward to doing some partnerships with Rich Chicks to get some classes on our online learning site, you can go to OrganizationalList.com. Until next time, this is Andre, and keep it real. All right, we'll see you later. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Bye, Andre.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.